He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
I know Dr. Brown is not going to say I told you so, but he kind of could say that, to be honest, because back in October of this year, he literally said this could probably happen in Connecticut because when you don't have enough people getting vaccinated, unfortunately, you could see the measles come back. And, well, here we are. Connecticut has its first confirmed case of the measles in more than 4 years. The Department of Public Health reporting that the case involved an unvaccinated child under the age of 10 from right here in Fairfield County. Hi, Dr. Brown.
Good morning, Melissa. No, I wouldn't have said I told you so.
I know because you're classy. You're a class act. You're not that kind of guy.
It's here. I know.
I mean, I'm not even going to ask you if you're surprised, but, you know, talk about the complication of the measles, because if I can remember our conversation correctly, we essentially, I don't want to say we eradicated it, but it was basically nothing, you know, more than 20 years ago, right?
That's correct. We in the United States ended up getting designation of eradicating measles, mumps, and rubella. That obviously is not there anymore.
Right. Right.
It's unfortunate.
I mean, do you see this being, you know, so with COVID, sometimes you'll say that there are pockets or that you have, you know, things pop up, but do you see, you know, I guess more of these cases popping up? Like,
so,
do you predict that?
It's sort of interesting. So the answer is I'm not exactly sure. I think you're going to see, this is sort of the classic example of what we would expect to see in someone who develops the measles, someone who traveled abroad, you know, someone who is younger, ends up getting exposure and is unvaccinated. That combination leads to the illness. It is highly infectious unless you're vaccinated. And so the likelihood that anyone who is around this person, and usually the case definition, so when you're considered infectious, is 4 days before the rash and 4 days after the rash is resolved. So that's when people are highly infectious. The people who do not have vaccination are going to be at very high risk.
Well, and I think it's interesting because in this case, we're being told the child traveled internationally.
Yes.
But did you see that South Carolina in particular has a massive outbreak right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, as we've talked about before, I mean, our world's getting a little smaller because of the way we can travel. If we're not vaccinating, then there's just always a likelihood that this, you know, viruses and bacteria just can travel from person to person, and that's how it goes. Especially something this infectious. I mean, really, if you've not been vaccinated and come across this child, the likelihood that you're going to get it is extremely high, almost in the 90% land.
And I mean, not to switch gears, but the other thing that's sort of coupled with this, interestingly enough, is that there was also a report from DPH, I think this week, maybe in the last week, but this month. That we've seen a real uptick in flu and RSV cases. Now, I know you and I, right after Thanksgiving break, had sort of talked about how we're probably going to see more COVID, more maybe flu cases
Correct.
Popping up because people are inside, there's gatherings, all that. But RSV, that's still relevant too, I feel like.
It is. It's relevant in sort of the highs and lows of age. So the very young are at significant risk. And then the older individuals can lead to a pretty significant infection that can exacerbate other underlying illnesses. So yeah, RSV is one of those. And just to be fair, we've really only started testing for RSV within the last couple years. You know, before this, we really didn't. Besides newborns, we really didn't test for RSV.
So we don't know if it's been relatively like the same.
Exactly.
We have nothing to compare it to. I see.
Exactly. You're going to definitely see an increase. But I mean, before COVID, we were calling it the cold.
Right.
So you really wouldn't know what it was. Flu, we're definitely seeing an increase. Again, not surprisingly, you would expect to see an increase in the flu. We aren't seeing a huge increase in hospitals yet. Which is a good thing. So
yeah.
It means people are getting their vaccines and it is actually being contained enough so they can remain home. I mean, they're still getting sick, but not to the point where they need to be into the hospital. And that's the same with COVID. I know we're seeing increases in COVID, but more increases in the cold, the coronavirus, which is, you know, causes COVID-19. We're seeing more of that because it's winter, and that's what happens.
Do we still not have an effective way of attacking RSV? I can remember when RSV, and maybe it was a couple of years ago when it started being tested for, and people were being prescribed the medication you would give to somebody if they had an ear infection. Do we still not really have a, you know, it's so just sort of waited out, or?
There's actually, there is a treatment for the young, for the very young. So again, we usually it's, you know, in the first year of life.
Yeah.
We can use it. We can use an antiviral that seems to work, and we can aerosolize it and use it.
You're talking it babies, seems, though.
We're talking babies.
Yeah.
And it's aerosolized, and it's so there is an antiviral use. In between that, not really.
Yeah, you're just riding
it out.
There really
isn't an sort of an antiviral. We actually just wait it out. There's the vaccine.
Okay.
And the vaccine is actually, the vaccine can be given in pregnant women, which will actually prevent their baby, which again, highest risk is in newborns, is the highest risk. So getting it, you know, in pregnancy is probably the most important thing. Later on in life, again, it prevents people who have complicated infection, complicated medical issues. It'll prevent them from getting a severe infection. But so, no, there's no treatment. There's no antiviral. There's no Tamiflu for it. Let's
okay.
That
That's okay. That's what I figured. I thought that was the case, but okay. Figured I'd ask. So
absolutely.
We've got Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health here, our infectious disease expert. And as we're talking about RSV, flu, cases on the rise, and unfortunately, Connecticut seeing its first measles case as well. I was reading, Dr. Brown, that there are cases of what's called the winter vomiting disease. I don't know what that is. It's surging across the country, though. Sounds delicious.
You know me. You know I'm honest guy.
You're nerding out. You're nerding out about this. You're like into this. This is what's so crazy about you, but I love you. Listen, if you love what you love, then you don't work a day in your life. No, I figured you would nerd out about
this.
I think
listeners need to understand, you know what, the winter vomiting disease, you didn't tell me that you were going to ask me about this before, so which is fine. So I quickly looked it up because honestly, it's actually very interesting when they come up. So the winter vomiting disease is norovirus. So it's so
you
again,
know what
nerding,
I can't
nerding,
keep track. They're all just cousins with each other. Like they all just you know.
Yeah. So nerding out. It was just funny to say that. Okay, we're going to give it a different name of a virus
that's really
common.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes. So norovirus. So you remember norovirus? Norovirus is the virus that actually is associated with cruise ships.
Yes.
So we talk about that, and we talked about that in the summer. And it causes a vomiting disease. So,
now they just gave it a thing. That's what they did.
It's just you know what it is. They use it in different ways because of the mechanism, the way that it transmits. So in the summer we just call it norovirus. Or noro like virus. It actually is a significant virus that is predominantly vomiting, and it's essentially called food poisoning.
So just call it that. Why do they do that? You know what, Dr. Brown?
That's why I had to look up winter vomiting disease because again, I was
like,
you that
what
is,
in the world is that?
What is she talking about? I'm like,
about?
Oh, she's got me on a good one. I'm like, all right, no, I know what this one is.
Thank God for commercial breaks, right? Yeah, well,
I know. You almost stump
I try. Listen, you know, it's not easy to stump a nerd. It's hard, actually. My job is really hard, Doctor. What do you think? You're a doctor. Your job is hard. My job is hard. But that's essentially what it is. That's just food poisoning.
Yeah. So it's norovirus. So norovirus is transmitted we hear it more about in the summer because of cruise ships. In the winter, we hear about it more transmitted into areas that there's multiple people who don't necessarily wash their hands or are not watching them. So we see outbreaks in particular, usually we see them in daycares, can be in small school-age children, depending on how it goes. So this is actually really important for hand hygiene. You know, washing your hands, cleaning surfaces is really important. And also, it is a very infectious virus. So if there is something on a surface and you touch it and you touch your nose or mouth, then you will get this virus. It's actually easy to transmit, and it hits all ages. It's just usually more dramatic in children. And that's norovirus.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well,
your vomiting disease.
That's helpful. You know, just another kind of, if you will, what's it called, like an attention grabber headline.
It is definitely a attention grab. Yes, absolutely. And defines what it does and where it, you know, what season it's in.
Mm. I have to also ask you this, Dr. Brown, because I'm not really going to go into vaccines so much. I have always been with your mentality, which is consult your doctor, right? I mean, I'm not going to give a blanketed statement what everybody should or should not do when it comes to vaccinations, all of that. But I am going to say that I am seeing a lot of regression. I don't know why, but I'm seeing a lot of regression, especially like with COVID, but with people just kind of ignoring, you know, that we did have a global pandemic and that I thought we learned a couple of things from COVID. But people who, for example, like if they're exposed to it, and here's the thing, I might be archaic. This is where I need your correction. But people who might be exposed to it, if their kids get it, if they're, you know, if somebody in their family gets it, are we still looking at if you are exposed to COVID, you know, doing work from home, for example, or not coming into contact with people within a 48-hour, I don't know. Like, what are the latest standards on this? Because honestly, sure. I have heard about more and more people getting COVID in the last, like, month, personally, mm-hmm. and it kind of drives me nuts that I'm coming into contact with them within 10 feet, and then I feel like I don't want to keep testing myself. I don't want to live in that headspace. But to me, we already were really bad at, oh, I have a cold, or oh, I have a sore throat, or oh, I have the flu. I'm going to come to work. Like, we already were bad at that as a nation.
Yes,
but I just feel like
correct.
COVID, man, we went through a pandemic, and I don't know why we're not getting it. I feel like we're regressing a bit.
Exactly, and I agree with that. And I agree with that before. I mean, we as a you know as an epidemiologist, you know, seeing that throughout is, you know, the best way to prevent people from other people from getting sick from the virus that you have is, you know, the best way is to stay home.
Yeah, get away from it. Right, right.
I don't get it.
So yeah.
Periods of time of staying home is you know really the most important. If you're sick, stay home. That's really that's the number one thing. If you're still having some symptoms, it's almost courtesy now to wear, you know, to wear a mask and make sure that you're washing your hands. I think that's definitely a courtesy thing that we need to remember. I mean, we don't want to be giving everybody infection. Who knows this, you know, because of things even like the flu. I mean, the more people that get it, the more it mutates, the more it's going to be more aggressive and can lead to some significant issues in everything, right? Mm-hmm. Our economy to our health. So yes, I agree that we have to keep that at sort of top of mind, no matter what you feel about with vaccines, whatever you feel about anything else. You know, it is common sense and common courtesy to, if you're sick, to, you know, to stay home. If you do have, you know, some symptoms, that you should really be wearing, you should be washing your hands frequently, you should be wearing a mask, and moving forward with those basic things to prevent the spread of infection. The rule of thumb is that if you have a fever, absolutely stay home. That's your body fighting off a virus. So your body, that means that virus is all over your body. You have lots of virus if you're mounting a fever against it. Stay home if you have a fever, and then don't return to work until 24 hours after that fever for anything.
Okay. Yeah, I think you got to kind of weigh, if you're in really close proximity to somebody, you know, and you feel like they had really bad symptoms. The other thing that I learned from you, Dr. Brown, is that you could maybe see your symptoms a couple days later. So
right.
I would take that into consideration. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Brown. I always feel seen when I talk to you. Can I just say?
Absolutely.
I feel seen by you, and I appreciate you. I think a lot of people feel that way. It's probably why you're one of the more popular segments on my show. Dr. Brown, I appreciate you. Thank you so much, and we will talk again next week.
My pleasure, Melissa. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too.